Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest-running podcast, now in our 19th year. And this week, the podcast features an interview with Jim Allen, the chairman of Hard Rock International and the CEO of Seminole Gaming, on the recent implementation of the compact between the Seminole Tribe and the state of Florida. This podcast is sponsored by iGamingPlayer.com, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. 2 years ago, Jim Allen completed negotiations with Florida Governor Ron DeSantis on a new tribal compact between the state and the Seminole Tribe. The compact gives the tribe a monopoly over sports betting in Florida, as well as the addition of craps and roulette games to their casinos, in exchange for millions of dollars in payments annually to the state. Although the compact was held up for 2 years due to litigation, that legal stay was recently lifted to allow these issues to become resolved and go into effect while the court challenges proceed. Allen addresses those issues and more of the Hard Rock Empire with me from his offices in Florida via Zoom in January. Jim, thanks for joining us. It's great to see you.
Roger, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
I saw you at the Hall of Fame induction at G2E this year, and that was your swan song with the AGA, and you just finished 2 years of being chairman of that as well, and spoke with Bill Miller yesterday, and he said you did a tremendous job, and he's going to miss you as chairman, but he's confident that Mike Rumbolz will also be as good as you, and I know Mike has worked with you as a board member at the Seminole Gaming Group there as well.
Yeah, Mike and I actually go back, I think, all the way to 1988 is when I first met Mike. And certainly we've had a long-term relationship, just respect him tremendously. And I think the nice thing is with Mike, you know, starting to slow down a little bit at Everi and not be as involved in day-to-day operations that as he used to be, I'm sure he's going to be very empowered at the AGA. And obviously I've been on the executive board of AGA for, I think, 10 years or so. So we'll let Mike get all the credit now, and that's probably a good thing.
Yeah, no question about it. And his experience as a regulator and an operator and on the supplier side as well, he touches all bases there, I guess.
No doubt. Great guy.
Right. So, and congratulations on finally getting the compact in place. I guess that's exciting for you to really see what's going to happen there.
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to be very cautious about where we are in the legal process. We certainly acknowledge and understand that there is still a pending case in the Florida Supreme Court. And then separately, we do not know if the United States Supreme Court will take up the case in regards to the definitional side of the scope. They certainly unanimously ruled in our favor and not allowing the plaintiffs, you know, any emergency injunctive relief.
Sure. So let's start with the sports betting. You were able to offer it on property at the Seminole and the Hard Rock casinos in Florida, but now you're allowed to offer it across the state in a mobile version. How is that working so far?
I think the first thing that we're very proud of, and we recognize these things, you know, move up and down at times. But if we look at the national rankings of all the apps, you know, associated with sports betting and iGaming, Hard Rock Bet is number one, you know, so that's from the patrons. That's not from Raffy, Marlin, or Jim.
Right.
So we're very excited about that. The platform has been literally amazing. Certainly has held up perfectly. Really has done some great things from a compliance standpoint. And candidly, the volumes are, you know, what I think most people would anticipate, very strong here in the state of Florida.
Sure. So I was in New Jersey a few weeks ago, signed up there, and it did work very well. And you're not in Nevada yet, though, correct?
That's correct.
Right. Plans to be open in Nevada anytime soon?
Yeah, what we worked out with MGM was that until we make the announcement of the definitive plans of what happens with the Mirage, and then depending on what that scope is, MGM Bet still operates the sports book in the Mirage,
okay,
even though the operating business they sold to us 2 years ago.
Right. Okay. So you also made some great hires to, on your interactive division a couple of years ago. Explain who you hired and why you hired them.
Are we talking about Hard Rock Bet? Yeah, well, certainly. Well, what we did was there a company was formed called Original Internet Partners. And that was led by Raffy, Marlin, and the Primo brothers, Matt and Mike. And they were really the brains behind the Stars Group. And obviously, in the most challenging times of the space, when other companies were losing billions of dollars a year, they were making right around $1 billion a year in EBITDA. So they sold that business to Flutter. Once all their non-competes and all those things were established, and so we knew what the rules was there, we started to have some communication, and we created obviously Hard Rock Bet. Those guys have had an amazing history. We have 400 and some people now in that company. We Seminole Hard Rock are the super majority owner, but they are the operator and the day-to-day, responsibility of the technology and how all that works, obviously utilizing the global brand of Hard Rock.
Great. So that also includes iGaming, obviously, with the Stars Group. They have a big background in that. How much are you up in iGaming now? I know you're in New Jersey. Are you in any other states?
I think we may be up in one or two more, but certainly not here in Florida.
Right. Okay. And that's not even on the horizon in Florida at this point.
Here's how I would answer that. Obviously, the scope of the compact does not allow for iGaming. The scope of the compact does allow for historical sports betting outcomes to be utilized in a casino-style game. So that's a very unique scope of the compact that certainly we have at our disposal if we desire to do that. But I think every state now that sees the success of sports betting and looks at what's happening with the profitability and the additional tax or revenue share, I think those conversations are changing more rapidly today than what they were 3 years ago, let alone 5 years ago.
Sure, no question. So what are your expectations for the internet company there? Is that going to be a major revenue stream for Hard Rock International at some point?
I think one of the things we have going for us is the global brand. The brand is in 70 countries around the world. And I think it certainly allows us, to have that brand recognition in some of the markets that have been difficult for some of the other US companies to penetrate. I am amazingly impressed as to what FanDuel and DraftKings has done. Are those brands relative in Brazil? Now that that country has just recently approved, or Europe, in Brazil, we've been there for many decades. We have 11 hotels that will be opening in Brazil in the next three years or so. So our brand has such relevance in so many other countries around the world. I think that's helpful. Certainly the experiences I alluded to that Rafi and the team have from the Stars Group, once again, their platform was predominantly international. So I think that's very helpful. But let's not sugarcoat it. Florida is obviously a wonderful state to have a very significant scope of the market. And it's something that I personally and the tribe, we've worked very hard to obtain. And if we can, prevail the last few chapters here under a 30-year agreement, yes, that business will have major EBITDA contributions to the overall scope of our brand and enterprise.
Okay, great. So one of the elements of the compact was also the introduction of craps and roulette at your Florida casinos, which you were prohibited from offering in the past. Have you seen a lot of pent-up demand there for those two games as you open them?
When I was a young lad, one of the things that I would always try to do is learn more. So I actually went to gaming school to be a dealer. to learn the game of craps.
Yeah.
And I haven't played it since, what was his name in Atlantic City? Mina, what was his name? I forget, that had the gaming school.
Yeah, I forget it's oh, Peter Demos.
Yeah, Peter Demos. Yeah.
Right.
So I went to Peter's school, and candidly, the perception is that craps is a dying game.
Right.
Not here in Florida.
Yeah.
We are very, very surprised, candidly, about the volumes we're seeing in craps. We certainly knew roulette would be incredibly successful based upon the penetration of the Central and South American, populations. You look at
Sure.
places like Brazil and Argentina, they love to play roulette. But craps has been a pleasant surprise.
Yeah. And I understand you've been getting some really good action. What's your minimum start around $50, right?
It really depends upon the hour of the day,
Sure, right.
Still a fascinating game. It's one of those games that very intimidating to the average person, but certainly when a great game is occurring on the casino floor, there's just tremendous excitement. So
Sure.
it's not going to make or break the $700 million a year we're going to pay to the state of Florida this year, but it really creates some great excitement, and I think we're very appreciative of getting that game into our scope.
For sure. Tell me you don't offer triple zero on roulette.
No, we don't.
That's good. They're seeing too many of those games here in Las Vegas for sure.
Single and double, and certainly the odds on single create a whole nother conversation.
Right. So, have you hired additional employees to staff these games?
Oh yeah, we hired for craps roulette, separate from sports betting, right around 1,000 employees in
Okay.
all the different job classifications.
And did a lot of the dealers in blackjack or baccarat want to take classes to deal craps?
Yes, and candidly, we obviously offered that. We've had our own dealer school for many, many years, but we're actually out recruiting in other markets right now because we're enhancing and increasing the number of games, and we just can't get the people through school quick enough.
Sure, no question. So you mentioned the compact payment that you give to Florida each year, 700 million, did you say?
Yeah, I think we're going to be right around that this year, and we have provided that information to the state.
Okay. And have you been paying that all along? Did you put it in escrow and now you're starting to pay it once the compact is in place?
Yeah, there was an escrow arrangement when the compact was in a neutral status.
So why is the this compact good news for Florida in the sports betting market instead of opening it up to all the other commercial sports betting, the FanDuels and the DraftKings of the world?
I think there's many, many points of view to this topic. But the land-based business has grown so much. And unfortunately, the gray market games and all the illegal activity that the state was having challenges with, certainly created, the pause about the breach
Right.
relationship between the tribe and the state, including the House, the Senate, this governor, the previous governor, like the previous four governors, has all been very, very positive. So I think the question is, there is no doubt that if the state of Florida wants to turn Florida into Las Vegas, whether it be the number of land-based operations or sports betting or iGaming, and then you get into the conversation of the offshore, illegal activity, the illegal activity that's happening with companies in the prop betting sector.
Sure.
Do they want to have money that's guaranteed from the only investment grade company from all three rating agencies, being ourselves, ever? Or do they want to take the risk of not taking that money and trying to get something done legislatively? Which they cannot do, so they got to go the referendum route. And that's where I think we ended up as to the legal position that the state, the tribe, and the other companies are at this point. We've always said, Raj, with no exaggeration, the state wants to put gaming all over the state of Florida, please don't ask the tribe for any money, and you, as the state, will make more money in that scenario. And we've always acknowledged that. But the state, everyone that I've ever spoke to in leadership of the House, the Senate, or the governor's office that says we do not want that to occur. We want Florida to be a family-friendly destination, an international gateway city, and we don't want to turn it into Las Vegas. I'm not suggesting that's right or wrong, but that's been the position that's been relayed to us. And do you know of another state that any individual entity is paying a state $700 million or so in tax or revenue share? And that answer is unequivocally no.
Right.
So it really is a two-way street that's working well for both parties. And it has the ability to include all the parimutuels to make sure their businesses are protected. And something that does matter in the state of Florida, which is the grazing and raising of horses in the state, was going to realize it's very, very significant and employs thousands of people in this state.
Sure, absolutely. So last time we talked, we did this podcast. It was at the height of the pandemic, and you were handling it very well, and you seem to have come out of it, with flying colors. Was that because you were located in the state of Florida, where Governor DeSantis seemed to handle COVID pretty rationally?
Well, I think two things. Obviously, the tribe has sovereignty, so we did not have to abide by any state mandates. So that's number one. But what we did do was immediately reach out for the governor. We showed him what our plan was. I think, as you may recall, we were the first in the industry to utilizing technology here, body imaging scanners, temperatures, tracking individuals back through their license plates. And all those things that, frankly, we were the first in the industry to do that. Once we did launch, there is no doubt that the message that the state of Florida was sending out, that Florida is open, was certainly helpful to us. And I think from that standpoint, that was a positive.
Sure. Well, Bill Miller told me when you were chairman of the AGA at that time, you were really instrumental in helping the industry as a whole recover from that as well.
I'm of the old school of where, we all succeed together. There are certain things we have to competitively go against each other. Obviously, many companies are competing in New York for one of the three downstate licenses, but it's never good if anyone doesn't succeed, on an individual standalone. So if we have some information or knowledge, I've always been very open-minded to share that information with AGA. And or any of my competitors.
Sure, absolutely. So you launched your new Players Card, Players Club card, Unity, a year or so ago, and I know it's just rolling out in Atlantic City in the next few weeks. How is that working so far?
Well, we always had rewards programs, but what we did was we consolidated three major programs into one. And what's very unique about Unity is, and you look at, say, MGM with M Life or Caesars with Total Rewards, virtually all those properties they control 100% themselves, right?
Right.
There may be a few exceptions with Caesars with some of their tribal relationships, like in North Carolina. So it's very easy to make that decision. But
Right.
when you're trying to get 300, partnerships in 70 different countries, under 11 different currencies, and I forget how many different languages, it was a monumental task. I mean, whether you're in a Hard Rock Cafe in South America, or if you're in a hotel in London, now it is one program. And that has been a major uplift for us. Probably took longer than we would have liked, but certainly we're very proud of it. And frankly, in Atlantic City, in such a competitive market, we're very enthusiastic about getting that launched now so that we're ready for season, commencing end of
Sure.
March, early April.
Right. Yeah, it's a different operational models you have in almost every jurisdiction. Some of them you own the property completely, and the other ones it's just a brand basically. So how do you balance that out in terms of the rewards that you give to your players?
We had to negotiate with every individual partner.
Yeah.
The player doesn't see those economics. Now, that was something we had to work out through a central bank concept that we created, so that the player sees it as seamless, but it doesn't become overly favorable to one particular geographic location and punitive to another. And that was the challenge.
Sure.
That
Yeah.
was really my analogy with Caesars, and I mean this in a complimentary way. Today, if Tom or back in the day, Gary Loveman, or
Sure.
the leaders of those companies, Phil Satre, really, when it really all started, it's easy to say, hey, here's what we're doing, versus negotiating with, God knows how many partners we have around the globe.
Yeah, no question about that. So let's talk about some of your properties. Let's start with the Mirage here in Vegas. Joe Lupo's doing a great job there, I think, operating it and completely starting over again, basically once MGM pulled out. So how is that going, and how are the plans for the Guitar Hotel going on the Strip?
I think the plans for the Guitar Hotel are really moving along nicely. Obviously, we are constantly getting a step process from Clark County, so we're pretty excited about that. We've reached agreements with all the unions on our existing contract, and some issues that may or may not occur in the future. So we're far, far, far down the path. I literally just got back. Not last night, the night before, 1 a.m. in the morning. I've been out there the previous 2.5 days. So Clyde Juba is our lead designers, and Rockwell and Jeffrey Beers, and really excited about the project. As far as business, Joe's done a great job.
Yeah, sure.
Obviously, there's uncertainty, and Joe's kept the team together. More importantly, he's growing the business. And not just because of Formula One. He's actually grown the business, both the table business and slot business, very, very nicely. But yet, at the same time, you really have to take your hat off to MGM. They were incredible to work with. They made the transition as smooth as one could imagine. And candidly, some of their corporate support that's not in the building, certainly we see that as a void to us,
Right.
And I think some of the efficiencies they had. From obviously their corporate office being up the street, it cost us a little bit more money to do some of those things. So, there's plus and minuses on both sides.
Sure, no question. In Atlantic City, the Hard Rock there is doing very well. For many years, the Borgata doubled the revenue of their closest rivals, but now you're chipped away, and you're a strong number two there in Atlantic City. How are you happy doing with that property there?
It's interesting. It was a record year for us. So, and we take our hat off to Ocean. Ocean has certainly had a good year also. And it's true. We have taken a tremendous amount of market share from others. And we just take it one day at a time. The property is doing well. It's exceeding its original expectations. Still hopeful that the city of Atlantic City, we'll continue to try to enhance its perception and image. We've spent countless times with the governor and with leadership. Senator Paolo has been great. He is certainly now has a new coalition of bipartisan, let's really address Atlantic City. I'm encouraged about that. Obviously CRDA and some of those things, I think some positive things are occurring there. But let's be candid, Raj. I've never been shy on this.
Nope.
People need to do more.
Yeah.
New York is coming. And if Atlantic City doesn't do more, Borgata will be there, Ocean will be there, and Hard Rock will be there. After that, as you said, there's a big gap
Yeah.
between us three and the rest of the town.
Yeah, no question. And the regional casinos, I just saw you're taking another step in the Wisconsin casino with the Menominee tribe, correct? That you're going to work with them?
We've been with them for, I think it's like 10, 11 years.
Yeah.
We had a deal done. Governor Walker reneged on that deal. He actually signed it, and then withdrew his approval. One of the saddest days I've ever seen in my career. This is what tribes think happened 200 years ago, and that happened 6, 7 years ago. I promised the tribe I would stay with them. And yes, we did prevail vote this week in Kenosha for it. It was a 10-9 vote.
Yeah.
But we did get the next approval, which allows us to continue to make that project, you know, move forward, which, you know, the Menominee Nation, wonderful people. A lot of the tribe live below the poverty line. We have all the other tribes in the state supporting it but one. And we're hopeful now to take the next step. We know the Department of Interior 100% approves it and supports it. So we take one day at a time.
Your property in Indiana is top of the heap in that state now. You know, what a great property that is. I was there last year and beautiful.
Yeah, you know, compliments to John Lucas and the local team. I think the first month or so, you know, we quickly just worked through the normal opening stuff. But since then, in gross revenue, it's the number one casino in the state and doing very, very well.
Right. So let's talk about New York. Your partner, you've aligned with Steve Cohen, the owner of the New York Mets, to build a casino at near their stadium there in Queens. Are you confident that you're going to get one of the licenses? And tell me what you think about the two existing racinos in New York. That do you think they're going to get, you know, the two licenses? So there's only one up for grabs, or is the state going to go and give out all three?
Well, and obviously, with humor, I want to make sure I emphasize my answer is meant to be a little bit humorous. But the only thing we're confident in is that there's a political process.
That's right.
And God only knows what may or may not occur. So, and I think very, you know, from a personal standpoint, you know, I try to be humble, you know, never forget where you come from. Leave your ego at the door. You've got some great companies involved here, both on the land side, you know, whether it's SL Green partnering with Caesars. I'm friends with Mark Holliday. I'm partners with Steve Ross in Hard Rock Stadium. He's partnered with Wynn. So, you know, great company. Certainly Las Vegas Sands has a great site. So they have a lot of land where they could do something amazing. You know, and the list goes on. So yeah. Who knows who is a front runner? We all know this is a political process. It's not just about who the best company is. Sure. And we'll see where the chips fall, no pun intended.
Yeah, no question. One more question. You're coming up on 25 years leading the gaming division for the Seminole Tribe. You know, whenever anybody says, you know, it's always tough to work with tribes, I always point to you that you've survived many leadership changes. And I know Max Osceola is a big supporter of yours and a great chairman for the tribe. But you've survived many leadership changes you know, you've led them to these incredible levels for a guy from Atlantic City. I'm always proud of that. So what's next for you?
Well, a couple of things. The tribe's been amazing. They truly have. Unfortunately, Max passed. So, and we're actually doing a big event in Max's memory, March of this year. So Max is a legendary guy. You know, it was my idea to buy Hard Rock. I went to the tribe and I said, you know, I think we can buy Hard Rock. I have financial backers, but if we'd love to do it with the tribe, you know, we all started this thing together 24 plus years or so ago. And obviously, you know, the tribe being the majority owner of Hard Rock on a global basis is pretty amazing. So that's been a tremendous ride. As far as what's next, you know, we've got Tokyo and New York and, you know, Barcelona and Athens, and, you know, the cafe division continues to grow, and 100 and some hotel locations on the deal log in the hotel division, and iGaming. So there's no shortage of work for us to keep busy. Obviously, we want to make sure we articulate the plan, the 5-year strategic plan with the tribe, and make sure we're all aligned. So, you know, that's where we are.
Right. Well, the Tribal culture extends to all the properties as well, and obviously that's a big emphasis that you put on your operations. Why are you so indebted to that you're going to keep this going?
You know, I think from a personal standpoint, I remember back when Kevin DeSantis called me and said that, you know, there's an opportunity for our little management team to do the deal with Saul Kirshner and create Mohican Sun. And it was Native American gaming. Remember, this is 1995,
Right.
right? And
Sure.
you don't understand what Native American history is or culture or experience. And I went there so naive. And then you learn very quickly, you know, someone can be Italian or Irish or they can be Native American. And we're all the same, right? Whether you're African American or Native American or, you know, from one of the European settlers or whatever. And then to hear and study some of the real challenges that occurred. And some of the challenges in lifestyle. And when President Reagan signed the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act to truly help Native Americans advance their lifestyle, I'm just honored to be a part of it, you know. And there's no doubt, you know, both at Mohican and here at Seminole, and the deals like we've done with Menominee and Rancheria and Tejon and these tribes, we've changed tens of thousands of people's lives, you know, and they have security. And I think that's something that's pretty unique, and we're very, very fortunate.
Yeah, no question. Well, Jim, thanks for the time. It's good to talk to you again. It's always nice to catch up with you and find out what's happening in your world. And there's so much happening. You're going to stay busy for quite some time.
Raj, you and I may be the two oldest guys left. You know, there's
We might, yeah, for sure.
times go by, but always a pleasure to see you. And obviously, all your publication and your listeners and readers, we're honored to be still considered relevant, in the amazing space of gaming.
Great, great. All right, well, thanks for joining us, and we'll be in touch when we get down to Florida.
Okay. You should come down here now. It's beautiful compared to some of the
I'm
other
coming down in
jurisdictions.
March. I'll look you up.
All right. Have a good
Thanks,
day.
Jim. Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by iGaming Player, the premier affiliate marketing site that delivers quality players to your online casino, sportsbook, or poker room with transparency and integrity. To learn more about the topics we just discussed, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.